Hello, this is Chris Nelson for evolveconsciousness.org. I will be describing the infographic on the sacred feminine and the sacred masculine. So I'll start with the two hands and then progress to the middle. So on the left, we have the sacred feminine, and on the right, there is the sacred masculine. If we look at this in terms of putting your hands out and having your palms facing someone, if you were to actually do this to someone, you would be looking at them from their palms. Because if you look at the image, we're not looking at the back of our hands. We're not looking at it as our left hand and our right hand moving forward towards the screen and looking at our back hands. That's not what we're doing. We're actually looking at it from our palms. These are palm views. So really on the left and the right is actually, the left is the right hand and the right is the left hand. It's like if you were looking at someone and facing them, the left would be on the right and the right would be on the left for them. So the right hand is in blue and the left hand is in red. And I put it like this. I didn't put it in terms of looking at it from the back of your palm, which would have the colors inverted, so left would have red and right would have blue. I did it in an actual palm view, so you have to look at it properly, that someone is facing you with two palms, and that would be their left and right hand respectively for them, which would be blue for right and red for left. So in the right hand of God and the left hand of God, which is truth or consequence, these are symbols, allegories, in order to understand our deeds and the consequences for our deeds, our behaviors and our actions. So in the right hand is the sacred feminine, which is on the left side of my image. So the sacred feminine is to do no harm. That's non-violence, non-aggression. This is known as the principle. This is known through the word of ahimsa in the East. Himsa is harm, and A is non. So ahimsa means no harm. This is about stopping to say no. Say no to what's wrong. Say no to what's evil. To stop doing it. To stop your own participation in it. To stop other people from participating in it. That, I guess, is more for the left hand of justice, to stop other people, but it's at least to stop yourself, because it's feminine, it's internal, so you do no harm, non-violence, you don't harm others, you don't harm those that are capable of being harmed, which are the animals, not plants. Plants are not capable of being harmed, they don't feel pain, they do have a life, and it can be ended, but it's not an animal life, it is a plant life. Completely huge fundamental differences that people completely want to ignore because they're not able to face the truth within themselves and reality honestly in order to bring themselves to a position of empowerment through that knowledge in order to effectuate change in their life in accordance with the harmony of natural moral law, in order to harmonize and unite and integrate with it themselves. So what stands on its own usually is the sacred feminine. It's the automatic default position. And when the sacred feminine is violated, when do no harm is violated, when non-violence is violated, when non-aggression is violated, when there is a violation against someone's right to not be harmed, well, then we have ahimsa, we have harm, we have violence, and we have aggression. And that's when the sacred masculine steps in. Because when you violate the right hand of truth, love, good, right, morality, natural law, the left hand steps in, and the left hand is the justice of the consequences of you going against the laws of morality, and you will reap what you sow through causal relationships with others in reality. It is a cause and effect. And two aspects of how we're affected in cause and effect and karma which I haven't gone into much, is local individual karma and cause and effect related to people around you that can affect differences in your life. And then there's a global aggregate systemic karma, whereby we are all in one system, one planet, one spaceship Earth, and what happens in the system that we create will affect everyone in the system. So from 100 years ago, people who set into motion through cause and effect, attachment to illusions and attachment to industrialization, attachment to exploitation and conquest, well, they led to what we have now. That's karma. Cause and effect. Past actions lead to present actions. So if we blow up our planet, well, it's all based on everyone who came before. Everyone who came before, maybe not blow it up, but if we start destroying our planet, it's all based on us and everyone who came before us that led to creating this condition right now. That's karma. It has nothing to do with past lives and reincarnations. Not in the way normal conceptualization is done regarding these terms. So once the sacred feminine is violated, once the right hand is violated, the right hand of truth and wisdom and knowledge and understanding and justice, well, justice is also, you can look at them both at the same time, sacred feminine and sacred masculine, that when there is no harm being done, justice is being served. It is just. It is right way of life. No harm, non-violence, non-aggression, ahimsa. But once you violate the sacred feminine, then justice has been violated as well. So you can look at it in that way. The two of them at the same time, or just as the feminine. Once the feminine is violated, justice springs up into action to act and stand up and stop the violation, stop the harm, stop the violence, and stop the aggression. So you can look at it like that, one then the other, or both of them at the same time. And when you violate the feminine, you also violate the masculine, which is, you violate harm, you violate violence, then you're violating the default state of justice, which is present in the absence of violence, in the absence of harm. When people don't stop and say no and don't do wrongs, when they do do wrongs, well, then justice is violated, and justice needs to stand up. Sacred masculine needs to become active, needs to act and stand up, do what's right in self-defense, usually in self-defense, but justice doesn't have to do only with self-defense. But primarily when you deal with yourself, you're looking at it from your own point of view, so you don't do harm, and when harm is done to you, you act and stop it. That's embodying the sacred masculine within yourself, is to not let yourself be a carpet walked over, trampled on, and violated. You have to invoke the capacities within you to act and stand up for truth and morality, which is how you stand up for yourself. Because we are truth and morality as a true self, higher will. And we can embody those aspects. So when we do right, and we act and stand up in justice, in the law, because justice has to do with law. Jus is yes. I'm pretty sure that means law. I haven't done the etymology for a while, so I'm just going from my memory. It has to do with law. So the default state is law and operation. I'm talking about natural moral law of higher order consciousness, behavioral spheres of action in reality. The higher law, the justice is the law of higher order consciousness, which is morality. This is represented by doing no harm, non-violence, which will create peace and establish justice as a default state. And then when you violate that, when you violate the right hand of God, the right hand of Maat, the right hand of Isis, well, you invoke justice as consequences to your violation of those moral laws. Any natural law causal agent can act, stand up, and do what is right to put an end to the violation of the sacred feminine and of the breaking of the sacred masculine of justice, and enact the sacred masculine through our manifestations of consciousness and stand up and do what is right to put back power into the right hand to do what is right, and to live in a default state of right after the left hand sets things back into correction through the cause and effect reciprocity of reaping what you sowed, or all of us reaping what we all sowed, because we all participate in the system of living on this planet. So, going to the middle, we use the lost word, which is no, and we say no to stop participating in evil. That's what it's about. The right hand of God, symbolically, is in blue, and it's good. Good does not do harm. Good is do no harm. Good is ahimsa. Good is non-violence. Good is stopping and saying no to evil. That's why it's the default state. The right hand of God, truth, morality, is the default state. You do right, or you go wrong. These are inherent principles in our reality and how we live. You do right or you go wrong. Do right, follow the right-hand path, follow what is good, or you're going to end up doing wrong, because you're not going to stop participating in evil. You're not going to say no to evil. You're going to keep doing it until you wake up and say no. You are the one that is in control of your life, and every act of immorality and evil and wrong that you do is created by you and no one else. Only you have the power to stop yourself in peaceful manner anyways. Only you can stop yourself in a peaceful manner by doing it yourself. At some point, evil is extinguished. Either you do it yourself, or when a quantum shift in the alignment with certain aspects of the natural laws, then evil will be extinguished by others. And that is the consequence. You either align with truth, or you face the consequences. You go right, or you go wrong. And this is how karma applies. Other natural law causal agents are the ones in your life which can make you face the karma that you sow. The reaping is not automatic. There is not a caring God force. All these caring forces, they're impartial forces. They don't care about you as a person. You're infinite in potential and value, but so are the other 7 billion, and so are the other billions of people who have previously existed on this planet that still were not actualizing their infinite value and potential. So we can keep doing the same consequences, doing the same wrongs, not really evolving, or we can actually choose to take the time, energy, effort, attention, dedication, determination, and persistence to serve truth, to stand for truth, to sacrifice ourselves, our own personal bullshit, our own personal lives, for truth and morality. Then we can actually live in the right-hand path of doing no harm, of striving for good, because we're choosing, actively choosing in every day, every moment, to stop participating in evil. And how do you know what is evil? You have to actually learn the objective difference between good and evil, right and wrong, truth and falsity. And then you can learn what is evil. You can learn what you participate in that you're currently not stopping and saying no to that participation in evil, you can learn about it. Then you can eventually use the lost word, say no, and stop participating in evil. So this is about exploitation, enslavement, harm, violence, and murder. These are going on every day, and 99% of the people are participating in it every day. Directly through the money they use willingly to purchase things. They purchase dead corpses, carcasses, cadavers, dead bodies. People purchase this. They pay other people to exploit life. They pay other people to enslave them. They pay other people to harm them. They pay other people to use violence in the ultimate form of murder. All the other things were violence. Harm, enslavement, exploitation was all violence. But ultimately, murder into a piece of rotting flesh, nastiness for other people to consume and to keep us into degenerated modalities of being, of living, in pseudo-actualization, never actually becoming our true selves, never becoming the higher self and the higher will, lying to ourselves that we're evolved, lying to ourselves that we're happy, lying to ourselves that we are perfect. We're just a bunch of narcissistic sociopaths, just lying to ourselves, lying to everyone, just so that we can all get some pleasure, because we're all Satanists. It's all about my survival, my freedom, and my truth. That's what we all are. We are all psychopaths, which is psycho, mind or consciousness, and path, pathos, suffering. We're suffering in the mind, all of us. I would say the only people that don't really suffer in the mind consciously are the actual people we refer to as primary psychopaths who don't have the capacity to feel. You understand why they're actual? Why they're not actual psychopaths by the term? Because psychopath, mind suffering, if you can't feel, how can you be suffering in your mind? Not consciously anyway, sure, unconsciously you're suffering because you're a devolved aspect of a human being which can't feel properly, which doesn't have an emotional compass. You're broken inside in some capacity. But they're not psychopaths because they're not suffering in the mind. They're perfectly content with themselves, aren't they? Or are they suffering? Suffering, I don't know. For me, suffering, if you can't feel, then how can you be suffering? Or I guess they can feel. It's just that they can't feel the pain other people are going through. They can only feel their own pain. So I guess in that sense they are psychopaths still, because they can feel their own pain. And they can feel how they're suffering and how they're in fear of other people. I don't know. I guess the normal psychopaths are still psychopaths. That was something I was developing on my own, because I realized everyone's a psychopath because everyone is suffering. Everyone is suffering, especially people in pseudo-beliefs about how happy they are and how perfect their life is. Yeah, they are suffering. Maybe not consciously. So I guess maybe they're not suffering either. I don't know. Everyone's suffering as I see it. We're all suffering in the mind. That's why we're all psychopathic predator dominators, preying on other life when we can choose to live a different way. We don't need to live in amoral, animalistic immorality. We can evolve to understand morality and change our ways of living beyond pleasure gratification and selfish, satanic survival and my freedom, my survival, my truth mentality. We can evolve beyond that. So, truth is love. Care for truth. Embrace truth and live truth. Integrate with truth and morality. Live integrated and connected. Truth is one way, so go all the way. Make the connection. Live integrated and connected. Make the connection with truth and morality. And live in a connected way to truth and morality. Integrated with truth and morality. United with truth and morality. Harmonize with truth and morality, and go vegan. Go ahimsa, go doing no harm. Vegan is just another word just a word for reducing your participation in exploitation of animals as much as you can, because you can, because you, we know we can live differently and we have the abilities to live differently. We're not in survival mode, just trying to survive. We're trying to, who cares about everything else? We're just going to try to survive. So eat whatever we can, do whatever we can to survive. We're not, that's not higher evolved thinking. That's our complex living. When you're dictating morality based on survival, my choice is going to dictate morality. Oh, I have to survive, so it's not immoral because I have to survive. Yes, it is always immoral. Your capacity to recognize it as immoral is what is lacking. You do not have conscious awareness of reality developed. You do not have conscious awareness of yourself developed. Therefore, you cannot understand the depth of morality required. So you do immorality, and you ignore it. You consider the immorality not immoral, because you're amoral as a lower consciousness, animalistic being, concerned with satanic, psychopathic predation of my survival, my truth, and my freedom. You can live a different way. Sure, it might be more difficult. But since when does more difficult mean wrong? That's what people don't understand about the narrow gate. Is the truth and morality is hard work. It's very difficult. Arduous and tribulations and trials. What's easy work is the wide gate. Yeah, just steal from another animal and take what it has. Ah, it's got all the minerals in it. It already did all the work for me. I'll just take what it has. I don't have to go get, do the work on my own to go get from the plant kingdom what is required for my sustenance. This is all about morality, doing what's right. Use the two principles, the sacred feminine and the sacred masculine. Uphold what is right and justice. By default, by not participating in evil. Do no harm, non-violence. If you do that, justice is automatically upheld. If, so long as one person does not do no harm, does not do non-violence and ahimsa, if they do harm, they do violence, then justice is violated. Justice is broken. Because the sacred feminine is broken. Because do no harm and ahimsa and non-violence is broken, then the justice is broken. You can only have justice once the right hand, the sacred feminine, is upheld. If you violate the sacred feminine, the sacred masculine is automatically violated, because they go together in unison together. So doing right and justice is an automatic state of do no harm and ahimsa. Automatic. The removal of evil leaves good. If you leave evil, you do not have the right hand state of doing no harm, ahimsa, non-violence. It's a lot of work ahead of us, not just individually, but collectively as a species on this planet. We have a lot of work ahead of us. It all starts with each one of us. Each change that we can make to remove ourselves from evil is our personal responsibility, and then we have the responsibility to help others come to that awareness of what is required to create a better living for themselves and everyone else. And so long as people refuse to do this, we are going to remain enslaved until we reach a quantum shift where things can actually get really heated and intense in friction and pressure and conflict. It probably will require that point. Look at all other social revolutions. They were not too quiet and peaceful. At some point when the numbers are reached, the force of speech can turn into the force of physical action to stop evil from perpetuating, to stop harm, to stop himsa, to stop violence, to stop aggression. Numbers are required. That's what the quantum shift is about. Quantum is an amount. Once there is a shift in consciousness through the force of speech, which was speaking the frequency of truth into creation, into existence, into reality, that affected and influenced other people. That's how the quantum shift is created. Then once that quantum shift is created from the force of speech, the vibration of speech, once that quantum shift is achieved, then the force can shift from the active vibration of sound, which is more passive than the active vibration of physical force. Because if you're one against a million, the one is going to get slapped down like a fly and squashed. When a million people are allied and united with evil and immorality as the default accepted and supported state of existence, then the one person is a fly that's going to get squashed if they try to use physical force before the shift in consciousness is attained. So you need to shift consciousness to a quantum amount first, over 50% at the least, I would think. Then the people who are acting as natural law causal agents of reciprocity and redress can use physical force instead of just vocal vibratory force of speech. And they can begin to work in the world to physically put down evil. I know many people don't want to accept this aspect and, oh, well, you can't control other people and you can't do things and they got to do it on their own. Really? Yeah, look around the world. That's what we're going to do, people. When people murder, when people rape, no one's allowed to act and stand in justice and defend anything. No one's allowed to defend ahimsa and do no harm and nonviolence. We all have to be pacifist little bitches and let evil run amok. No, no, we can't have a quantum shift of people actively stopping, physically using force to stop evil from propagating. No, no, we can't do that. That's violence. But they're cowards. Doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman. You're a coward if you think that way. Do you even understand what you're talking about? No, you don't. Have you ever delved into understanding language and how it reflects reality? No, you haven't. Well, I have. I have 5-part presentations, hours, articles. I have hours of talking on it. Now go learn reality. People don't want to learn reality. They just want to believe whatever they want to believe. It's not grounded in reality, but they're conceptions, and they're just going to take them as true. They're not going to deduce from those universal general ideas and try to verify it in reality, try to ground it back in reality. No, we're just going to blindly accept beliefs because they make us feel good. You don't understand language. You don't understand the empowering aspect that comes with understanding how it functions and how it reflects reality, and the power that comes with actually learning true definitions of words and stop using words incorrectly, which is 99% of people. And I endeavor to always improve my use of words. That's why I'm always looking into etymology. That's why I do etymological articles. Because people do not use the words properly. They apply the word feel to plants. Plants don't feel. Plants don't have pain. Go look at my recent article on living action. I don't know, a bunch of things. There's like 10 etymological breakdowns. There's a bunch on life and what's living and what it is to be alive and what it is to feel. It's all in our words. Our words were created to reflect reality, but people don't care about the true meaning of words and how they reflect reality. People don't even care about reality. So they're just going to invent beliefs and accept the definitions that are fed to them, which create an artificial, unrealistic understanding of reality. And they're just going to lap that up. Oh, this isn't an accurate definition. Will I even verify if it's accurate? No, I'm just going to accept the definition. I'm not going to verify if it's accurate. I'm just going to accept it. And there you go, that's my understanding of reality. I'm not going to go see if that's actually what it means. Oh, plants feel, plants have pain. I don't need to understand language at all. I don't need to understand definitions. I'm just going to go with plants feel, they feel pain. They're just like animals now. I can just ignore everything and I can just spout bullshit like life is life, life is life, life is life. And other stupidities. Oh, it's all life is life. I'm just going to ignore reality. Just say life is life. There's so many stupid people who know nothing and think they know. They talk like they know, but they don't know. You have morons who think it's immoral to have animal farms and slaughterhouses, but it's not immoral if you do it yourself on a one-on-one capacity with some animal that already exists in nature, and as long as you don't make it suffer when you murder it, then you're not doing anything immoral when you murder the animal to eat for your survival as a personal choice you make to do that immoral act in order for your choice of survival. But you don't have to do it, but you're choosing to. And because you chose to, you choose to be God and not understand morality objectively. You're going to be an arbiter of truth, and you're going to dictate, based on your choice, what is moral and immoral. See, people don't, they think they understand things, but they don't. And then they parade and they speak and they proclaim they understand, and oh, I'm an anarchist, so yeah, I'm not divided, I'm not in the R complex. Yeah, you don't even understand. You don't even understand yourself properly. That's why the words that come out of your mouth are bullshit. You say things that don't reflect reality because you do not understand the words you're using to reflect reality. You don't even understand yourself. You're not capable of looking at the mirror and looking at how your perception of reality is being projected onto reality. I'll just mention that I have a note on three aspects of mirrors. See? So we have three symbolic mirrors. We have a mirror to reflect and see ourselves and see the truth about our current condition. That's the proper mirror you're supposed to use. But people have a hard time using this real mirror. So most of the time people project reality by mirroring themselves onto reality. So they're projecting their perceptions of reality onto what reality is, and they're not able to see reality as it is. They're not able to see the truth because they're projecting themselves. They're projecting their subjective reality onto reality. They're not willing to detach objectively from themselves, from their subjective understanding, and actually look at reality itself in order to change their subjective reality and the way they view themselves and the world. So they just project onto reality. And other people can also, the third form of mirror is where you just copy reality. You copy what is there. You're not trying to discern things and figure out what's right and wrong. You're just going to copy. So you end up being a reflection of your reality. These are the three types of mirrors that I've uncovered in my own contemplations and reflections. So the mirror of copying what's there, just a copycat of your environment, which is most people are affected by this to a great degree. Most people are affected by the projection aspect as well, where you project your mirror onto reality, so you don't see reality clearly. And the one that most people are not doing is where you reflect yourself and see yourself and see the world as it really is, to see the condition of good and evil within you and how you're manifesting it, whether you're in the sacred feminine of not participating in evil or whether you're actually participating in it. And that'll let you know whether you're in the side of truth and morality and right, or whether you're in the side of going wrong into consequences, into the negative consequences. I would say that consequences are always negative, and when it's positive, you have a reward for doing good. Alright, so I guess that's about it. The audio is a bit longer than I thought. I figured I'd only be talking for 10 minutes. Anyways, thank you very much for your time and attention. Have a nice day. Take care. Peace.